Let's call the meeting to order. The members of the committee go around and introduce themselves. Brian, you can start.
Brian Ace, community member.
Kelly Harnish, an alternate for Carlo Brockett, representing the Health District. Becky Gross, Franklin County.
Jason Bliss, Benton County.
Clark, Benton County.
Kevin Dan, Benton County, General Public.
Jason Valentine, Franklin County, and Franklin's Health.
Matt Clark, Benton County Sheriff's Office.
Carol Lester, Clark County Public Experts. Aaron Petty, Franklin County.
Kevin Crowley, Franklin County.
Chad Michael, Benton County.
Cindy Saunders, Benton County.
Carol Fornier, alternate for Michelle River and the Recovery Coach.
BJ Olson, Franklin County. All right. You received the minutes from last meeting. Any corrections?
Motion to approve the minutes in public.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This is an opportunity now for the public to address the committee. There'll be another opportunity after our discussions. Is there anyone here present that would like to address the committee? Right. Moving to the discussion timeline on deliverables. Matt is not here today, so that'll probably be.
I just got an email response from on that. He says, yeah, sorry, I won't be there today. I'll work on pulling together a timeline for the recovery center work, including the operations contract for the May meeting. So we just push that to May.
Okay. Any update on sobering center? Anything?
So right now, we are just waiting for my son. Figured out about the funds.
Okay. How did the inspection go?
Oh, it didn't have the contract to deal with.
Oh, okay.
Like, or license.
Got it. Got it.
So just the clarification on that?
Yes.
What are we reading?
He said he's waiting on a contract, is that right?
We need to wait for Michael Salas to have in communication with Matt. So they can figure out the money.
The funding allocation.
The money coming with the percentage fund account.
Okay.
So the counties are, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did that have to do with an increase or asking for an increase? Does this have to do with asking for an increase in the funds?
I don't know what Mike is gonna do with that.
I know last time there was something with an increase.
Yeah.
Money, so I don't know if that was the hangup or not.
We were waiting for Mike to speak to Lord's CEO or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but Mike has to figure out with Benton County, how the money's coming first. Move forward. So they want to know, I don't know how it's gonna be the percentage, but it's gonna be that. Something is becoming.
I understand the conversation before was that Franklin County was gonna hold the contract and then Benton County would subcontract and decide whether or not they pay percentage, a per diem rate, or what it would be from Benton County's side. The Franklin County would be the contract holder. So I think that's what, they're waiting on.
Other questions on that?
Was there any sort of, if all the stars aligned, when you guys would potentially be able to open? So the goal is, we are thinking hopefully 6 months, depending on the department's fair, depending on the state of fire. Be approved for around the season.
Sure.
See what is.
So 6 months from the time.
That is the. If what we want, so the defense department's fair, the other part was the. Hopefully, possibly. If this is fair, where it's more very possible. Hopefully, you can have, hopefully, you can do this.
It's not a, what do I want to say? You guys already have, through the Department of Health, that
That licensure, you have to do, yes?
Yeah, we have, that's for the, behavioral health agency, but we need to get attention for that.
Yeah, this is gonna be a gather site place.
Yeah, it's not, no, residential business facility or my dad's just a branch. So can be easily, but depends on staffing for the department, you know, they have sure staff in. So here, that's the. But we only need to step over from the funding.
Might not have been stepped up, but I, where I thought we left off at was there were some renovations that needed to happen to the building. So is, do we know, is that true, not true?
Is there renovations that need to be done to the building? Are you waiting to do that or? For the contractor?
Well, the thing is that we need to see first what the city, as to what the city goes for the building. And after that,
So.
The director of facilities came to give us better idea.
So the, so I understand what you're saying. Before you can move forward with that, you need a contract with Franklin County. Before you can move forward with that, is that correct?
That's what we would like to.
Okay.
See.
And so right now we're waiting for the contract with Franklin County, and Franklin County is waiting on Benton County? Is that?
I think.
They're chatting, I think, right now.
Okay.
Retreat.
They're at a retreat.
Yes.
They've retreated from us. All right. Thank you for the update. Does that answer your question?
Kind of, yeah. There's more to come.
Yeah.
I'll just add that the renovations to the building will be minimal, just validated with the city code.
Who is actually managing the renovations? And would that be Franklin County? Who's gonna oversee the renovations?
I believe so. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's it. So we're gonna work with them and see. Yeah.
Just wondering if any of that could be done parallel?
Yeah.
Get started on that so that that's not another delay once this contract is ironed out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we want to extend one on top of the other, but we do have some changes.
Other questions or comments? All right, moving to the next discussion item, substance use disorder subcommittee. Do you have an update?
We have not met again.
Okay. Mental health services subcommittee, you have an update?
We do not.
Do not. Communications. We are having in May or mental health month for the beach. Oh, Carla, you want to raise your hand? Thank you for pointing that out.
I can wait until after the update, but I'll go back to the SUD request from last month.
Oh. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Last month we had some discussion about the burden of those affected by substances on the emergency departments. Folks were kind of like, what are numbers actually look like? And so I sent BJ to you and a couple other folks just a few minutes ago, some data that we have pulled based on ICD-9 codes and Essence data. And then, you know, whatever other folks want to do for data gathering is definitely optional. It looks like less than 1% of volume from ED for 2023 fell into the range of the diagnostic codes that would be considering being related to intoxication, withdrawal, or abuse, not necessarily completely overdosing. And so that population that may be rerouted elsewhere. I just wanted to make sure y'all had at least some of the information that was requested last month for numbers. And we can share that out in the minutes or however else you want to do that.
Yeah, I can forward that. Do you know which email you sent that to, Carla?
Oh, I think your Outlook one. Do you want me to send it to a different one?
No, that's...
Glenn has it as well. Glenn and Nicole.
All right, we will forward it to the committee. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, just to, without having seen the numbers, is it if those diagnoses occur, or if it's only one of those diagnosis codes. In other words, if there's no additional diagnosis.
No, it is not in the absence of other diagnoses. So that information will be in the explanation of the email to help justify that a little bit. I will read Purnell's explanation word for word. These are codes associated with the use of drugs that are specific and related to current intoxication, withdrawal, or abuse that are not specific to overdosing on said drug. So they would fall under the class of F10 through F19 ICD-10 codes. When I use the word affected below, I'm including when the medical professional recorded instances of abuse, withdrawal, intoxication, or drug-induced psychotic disorders, dependence, overdose, et cetera, and when the patient communicated a plethora of keywords that the CDC has identified to be associated with substance use.
All right, thank you, Carla.
Yep. Hopefully that helped a little bit, Brian. I know that was still a little wonky, but they could also possibly be having a heart attack, but the idea was right. To keep them isolated.
So, sorry, I get to ask the layman questions because I'm a general public person. Is there any, I doubt it's in this report, but I'd be curious if it's tracked, the approximate cost of that. I mean, 1% sounds great, but I don't know what the cost of 1% is as it pertains to resources.
Right, and that I am not sure that we can pull that information because, again, that's not information we have easily accessible like we do diagnostic codes. But the intent of this conversation was talking about the volume, not so much. I mean, that was what the original data request was about, right? Like, how many people are we talking about? How much is this interfering with the flow? And if we look at it being roughly 0.68% of 2023 ED visits, that's what we were pulling the data for.
So looking at the graph, Brian, it looks like about 100 ED visits attributed to those codes in a month.
Per month. Okay, thank you.
All right. So with communications, in month of May being Mental Health Month, we'll be doing some radio spots and TV interviews coming up and trying to emphasize mental well-being, mental health well-being. Probably get a mention with what the committee work is doing. So we'll probably be able to share an update on that as well. So behavioral health workforce development. The update. This could be a short meeting. It's going to be a record short meeting. All right. This is an opportunity for public comment. Anybody from public would like to address the committee? Yes.
Regarding workforce development, I don't know if you report that project news who came to the coalition meeting, our last public meeting, and Cameron will be there. So he is the dean of health sciences at CDC, and may or may not know they're very much on track to have available for an offering this coming fall for SUDP certification. So yeah. They have submitted all of the need to submit at the state level. They had approval on one part of that process and waiting for the second. That was about 3 weeks. So very enthusiastic, and he's been looking for those who might want to be a part of the advisory committee to develop the curriculum. And then some of you here who might want to reach out to Doug from CDC.
Excellent. Would you be open to sending the contact information to us?
So would I?
Yeah.
Certainly. I know John has it too, so I'll remind him.
Okay, yeah. That way we can get it to the whole committee.
Yeah, we'll do.
That'd be great. All right. Any other public comment? Any other business?
Just a couple questions.
Yes.
I missed the last meeting, but the field response teams, did we get an update where we're at with the RFP and what the status of that is?
I'm drawing blank.
That the field responder team. So Matt had the RFP. He's gonna put it out to the groups that had previously expressed interest. Did we talk about that at the last meeting?
I talked to Matt about it. He said only one. There was one response.
Okay.
That came in from the original.
Yes, that is correct. Thank you for that. Yes.
So we should see that moving forward. And one other question, BJT, on the finance part of it. I think we previously talked about getting some information at meetings on what revenues were looking like and some of the expenses too.
Correct.
Will we see that?
I think that the, we discussed that at the last meeting along the lines of the timelines and deliverables. It was kind of wrapped up in that conversation as well.
Okay.
So kind of waiting on that to pull those numbers together.
Okay.
So I will remind him, May, but he's made a few promises here.
Do we know who that company is that bid with the owner's founder?
Comprehensive.
Comprehensive? Thanks.
So then we still need to make a decision?
Well, they were the only ones that put in the bid. I don't want to speak for Matt, but I think he said that that's what we would. And since they're going to be running the recovery center, it makes sense.
Is that something that we think we could get up and going? We have a timeline?
I don't know.
I've not heard the timeline yet.
Maybe that's something we can add to the agenda.
And I think it had to go to the commissioners to the first for approval. I'm not positive.
What's that?
I think it had to go to the commissioners first too for final approval before I think a word was given, but I'm not positive.
Was that a bi-county piece? And was there already agreement on by both commissions on the front end that we were going to do a bi-county, or would this be the first look at it by both commissions?
I think this would be the first.
Okay.
It's a recommendation from the committee, so.
Yeah.
For that subcommittee for beginning to contract makers to FAR, can we please include pre-arrest diversion efforts in that? We are doing pre-trial diversion. That would be probably the next logical step is this field response team, as well as the recovery navigators to do some pre-arrest diversion and at least start that criteria events on.
So Cameron, has there been any thought put into, I guess, how this will run parallel to what Merritt is already doing in the county, in the community, and what city isn't there an analyst one already going on as well?
A youth and home crisis?
Yeah.
Yeah, run by Comprehensive.
So how will those, I guess, run parallel? What's the thought process on the difference to that?
Yeah, good question. I'll speak with, I saw Shereen in here too, but how I would see that is the 911 or law enforcement, fire EMS would make referrals to the team, probably field response first, and they would determine whether there's a substance use disorder as the primary, or whether that's a crisis issue from an ITA standpoint. And then they would work in tandem with each other to probably do a warm handoff in the field, either call up the recovery navigators for an outreach or some type. If we were talking pre-arrest diversion, we would not have a facility yet for that. So there would have to be a warm handoff with some type of tracking done with law enforcement. Shereen.
I'm Shereen Hunt. I'm the executive director of Merritt Resource Services, and we're doing the recovery navigator program. So right now, most of our referrals have been post-arrest for drug possession, public drug use, other misdemeanor crimes. And the prosecutor has wrapped up into those pretrial diversions. We've had over 300 referrals. I'm happy to say that almost half of those our recovery navigator peers have engaged with, have opted them into our recovery navigator program. And there's many of them that have been referred to residential treatment. And so our program is off ground and running, and I'm really pleased, and we're working closely with law enforcement and the courts. And it's a new program. So, you know, we've been in the process of recruiting and hiring, and we've gotten great feedback from the Mid County Jail. The jail has been fabulous with allowing our recovery navigator peers in the courtroom. So they're right in the courtroom, and the judge or the prosecutor can say, hey, there's a peer over here. Are you interested in pretrial? Go speak with them. And so we've been able to opt those individuals in. Our recovery navigator peers are meeting with those individuals in the jail. They're also picking them up from jail when they're released from custody. They're transporting them to a respite site, or some of our Oxford recovery residences have been great that they are willing to house them until we can get them into their residential bed date. We've also had direct pickups. American Behavioral Health Services will pick up individuals directly from the jail and transport them to their residential program. Also had conversations with Triumph Treatment Services. They are now also willing to pick up directly from the jail and transport to their residential program. So we've got some great collaboration and cooperation, and it's pretty exciting to watch this program develop. And I got to tell you, this isn't happening in other places in the state. So, you know, Benton County is really the model of what I think most people are referring to as the blank fix. Now that drug possession and public drug use is illegal once again. So I'm actually going to present at a statewide conference later this month about what we're doing here in Benton County, because it's working. We've got a group of grassroots people that are really invested and are just working our tails off to make this great program happen. So it's pretty exciting.
So Jason, back to your original question, I think if it is comprehensive as the call upon their word of the contract, I see them kind of looking at tandem and figure out what the best course of action would be.
I think there were some performance issues that were a little bit different, though. A faster response time was one of the things that was expected. Expanded days and times was another one. Maybe operating independently of firing, you know, simply on the nature of the issue. But those things might be some of the differences between what's out right now.
Have you, Shereen? All that sounds great. So I applaud you for all that work that you've done. Have you touched base with the EDs at all? Have you guys explored what that might look like?
Yeah, so our population, right, this is from the Blanket Provision. So the funding is from the state, right? So our priority population are really those individuals that are coming in contact with law enforcement or other first responders. So that's really been our focus in early on. We just got the contract in October, and so it's been just, you know, I mean, we're 6 months into this.
Yeah.
So we do take social referrals from the emergency department. However, those aren't the priority. And once I'm fully staffed, you know, we're going to be able to expand this to more social referrals, like emergency department referrals. I've also hired a diversion support coordinator who's a substance disorder professional. And that person is full-time doing full biopsychosocial SUD assessments for these individuals that are being referred, and then coordinating their care to get them referred to the right level of care at the right time. So as we ramp up, I see that we'll be able to expand that some more, but right now, really our focus is helping out our law enforcement partners with those people that are being arrested, rearrested, cycling in and out of our criminal justice system. And getting those folks the services that they need.
Do you anticipate the sobering center being a resource and a tool for your team?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we want to partner with everybody, right, to figure out, you know, what's the best course of action for each individual in responding to, you know, their illness, right? People that have substance use disorders have a primary, progressive, chronic, and fatal disease, and we've seen the overdoses. You know, we've all experienced, you know, the crime and the emergency department visits, right, and people that have untreated substance use disorders. So, you know, whatever we can do and partner with others, you know, we're on board to do that.
The other business. Yes.
Just real quick, Mark, has there been any movement at all? Is there any conversation around the 3-day thing that's currently in effect?
Additional conversations occurring, and no final decision made yet, but discussions are on hold. So it's.
As long as conversations happen, that's.
Any other business? All right, a bit of self-promotion, Emmaus Counseling Center that I'm executive director at. We are having our annual celebration dinner fundraiser. And I'm inviting all of you to, as a guest, if you want to come, learn more about Emmaus Counseling Center. That'd be great. I'll send out an email to everybody, but I know that we've done a few of those self-promotion of other nonprofits. Anyway, any other business? All right. Move that we adjourn. Any seconds?
Second.
And those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Good meeting, guys.